One, two, three, Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave. We're joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 508 live on Sunday, June 4th, 2017, are Terry Hawkins.
Hey all, if you're not hungry now, you will be by the end of this podcast.
Josh Susterman.
Hey, how's it going?
And from the Behind the Ears podcast, Uncle Danny himself, Danny D'Angelo.
That is me, and I will not be hungry because I have a bowl of cereal in front of me.
So tonight, we're going to get started with round two of the Diz Dads podcast, Quick Service Dining Tournament. The second round matchups coming up will be in the Pitmasters and Seafarers regions. But before we get to that discussion, I do need to thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mousemaster Travel Group. The Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. I did also want to mention that we just launched early this morning the newest iteration here of Diz Talk Radio. So hopefully we've got some listeners here in the chat room. It looks like it may just be the podcasting crew for the time being. That's on me. I was so busy getting the new site ready to roll that maybe I didn't promote quite so well that we were going to be there for the live broadcast. Anyway, it is all new. We've got a lot of great new content there in addition to the Diz Dads podcast and Dad Show content that's been there. We've got content from Danny's show, Behind the Ears podcast, Mighty Marvel Geeks, and Wookiee Radio, both of which are part of the Weeby Geeks network. We've got Go Mouse Scouts with Chris Shepard and his wife bringing us Disneyland-focused content. We've got our own John Peters and David Jewart bringing us the Weekly Pint podcast and classic episodes of the Disney Film Project podcast. So lots of great content streaming 24/7, 365 from Diz Talk Radio. Your favorite show will have its own, you know, regularly scheduled block, but the vast majority of the schedule is just random mixes of all of that content. So we encourage you to sample. Maybe you'll hear something from a show you don't really know, something you're not familiar with, and you know, you'll like it enough that you'll want to pursue it and subscribe to their feed and listen to them more regularly. All right. So with all that, back to the Quick Service Dining Tournament. Welcome back, gentlemen. There was a little bit of chatter before we started. I think it was perhaps some grousing about outcome of first round matchups, particularly the outcome of some ties. Did I hear some grumbling?
How no one voted for the turkey leg cart? Well, I'll never understand that. That should have been a clear winner. I'm disappointed.
And I'm with you. I mean, like I said in the tiebreaker, I went ahead and cast my vote for the turkey leg cart for the simple fact that the turkey leg cart has its own merchandise, you know, and Harambe Market does not. So what's more iconic than a turkey leg when they have shirts, they have magnets, they have air fresheners, they have all kinds of things that are turkey leg related. And to me, that should give it a little extra clout.
Well, clearly not enough listeners agreed with you because it didn't seem to help the turkey leg carts in that were in this contest, when it came time for listener votes. But we do have some really good, really interesting matchups here, and I think we probably ought to go ahead and just jump right in with these. Just to remind everybody of the format, we'll toss out one of these restaurants, one of the panelists will make an argument in favor of one of the contestants, we'll see if there's a contrary argument to be made, take a vote. As the host here, I can only participate in order to make or break a tie, at least only participate by voting. I certainly reserve the right to try to persuade one way or the other. But in any case, let's get started with the top here of the Pitmaster region. And, I guess it's appropriate. The top seed, the namesake of the Pitmaster region, is up first. And that would be Flame Tree Barbecue, a classic, I think, really at this point, from Disney's Animal Kingdom. And it gets the winner of the tiebreaker from last round. We had a tie early on, Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe and Blaze Fast Fired Pizza. And despite all of the praise heaped on Blaze during that first round podcast, Cosmic Rays has put up a heck of a fight, and the 9-seed Cosmic Ray really blew away Blaze in the fan vote, with a clear win taking 70% of the vote in the tiebreaker. So number 9, Cosmic Rays, is up against Flame Tree Barbecue, the number 1 seed. And, Terry, make an argument. Who ought to advance between Cosmic Rays and Flame Tree Barbecue?
I can understand why people have voted for Cosmic Rays. I mean, it's one of the, dare I use a Q word, but, it's mandatory that you go and do your time in Cosmic Rays when you've got young kids, and those Space Angels are wonderful to listen to, but Flame Tree Barbecue is just fantastic. I prefer the setting over at Flame Tree Barbecue, the seating area, particularly now that you've, they've done the upgrades to the lake there and that. So you can't beat the food at Flame Tree.
Okay. So clearly we've got some support for Flame Tree. I don't know, Josh or Danny, either of you want to try and make a case for Cosmic Rays against Flame Tree?
Yeah, I'll keep the Cosmic Rays, fighting on to the last here. I find that when it comes to the atmosphere, like Terry was saying, he likes the new seating area at Flame Tree, and I mean that's all well and good, but you've got all indoor seating and plenty of it at Cosmic Rays in the air conditioning. So when you've got the 90 degree weather, and it's bearing down on you, it's nice to have. I know Flame Tree is in the shade and it's usually pretty cool in there. They got a nice breeze going, but I mean, sometimes you really want that air conditioning. So Cosmic Rays gives you, for one, all indoor seating, and for two, really it's a much more plentiful seating area. I know, last time I was at Flame Tree, actually, like last week, we got lucky because there was a table opening up as we were coming into the seating area, but we saw a lot of people that had to, either stand or find another place to go to eat, or had to wait a little bit for a seating area for a table. So, I don't think I've ever seen that problem at Cosmic Rays. They've got so many tables. And for me, at least looking at the menu, now the quality of the food is a bit better at Flame Tree, but the menus are very similar. At both places, you can get the half chicken, you can get the chicken and ribs combo, but Cosmic Rays has the topping bar that you can kind of, add a little extra to it. So for me, it's, my vote is going towards Cosmic Rays on this one.
All right, so Danny, we've got the impassioned case here for Cosmic Rays. Terry sounds like he wants to defend Flame Tree a little bit here before I come back to you for your vote. So what is it, Terry? What do we leave out?
Well, just comparing the menu, it's like, yeah, okay, theoretically they're the same or similar, but quality wise and what you're getting, it's like ordering a steak at Denny's versus a steak at Victoria and Albert's. Yeah, technically they're both steaks.
Well, I wouldn't say the disparity is that large though. I mean, you know, so maybe a steak at Denny's and a steak at like Morton Steakhouse, maybe.
If it weren't for the topping bar, which, you know, that's got a point at Cosmic Grays, but the actual burgers and the meat like substance they use there is not quite on par with you know, the ribs on the bone and the pulled pork over at Flame Tree.
All right, so Danny, are you persuaded by either argument here, or do you bring another, really third perspective to this contest?
You know, Josh had hit a lot of good things, but Terry kind of nailed it on the head with the whole aspect of the menus might be the same, but if I'm picking something, I'm going to pick the better tasting and the better quality of food from Flame Tree Barbecue. Now, Cosmic Rays, I always hated their line setup, and I feel that they finally adjusted that. You know, it is air conditioning. Seeing Sony Eclipse is always a nice time. But at the end of the day, I just think the quality of food over at Flame Tree Barbecue, you know, for example, the St. Louis Rib Dinner, or even if you want something lighter, the watermelon salad, I just feel like, yes, it does have the chicken, and, you know, Cosmic Rays has its burgers, but this is more of a hearty food. It's definitely more filling. It is a little more expensive, but you're getting what you pay for. So I'm going to go with the Flame Tree Barbecue.
All right. Well, so it's a 2-1 vote, and I could make a tie here. And, you know, Josh does make some pretty good arguments. Perhaps the strongest really kind of went unmentioned, and he did make an impassioned defense of Cosmic Rays from the perspective of, you know, indoor seating that gets you out of the sun and all of that. But really, almost more importantly, I mean, we're getting into that time of year in Florida where we get that guaranteed late afternoon rainstorm. And so there's probably a good 2 hours a day at least where it would be downright unpleasant to try to eat at Flame Tree Barbecue, because, you know, yeah, you can grab your food and, you know, try and find a place with a little bit of shelter, but the even the best case scenario is that, you know, you don't get rained on directly. Instead, you just get dripped on because you've managed to find a little bit of an edge of shelter somewhere. And you really don't have that problem. As a matter of fact, I think that probably my most pleased experiences at Cosmic Rays have been, you know, it being the refuge during a downpour when you're caught out in the, you know, wide open space in the middle of Tomorrowland. But that said, you know, this is a dining tournament after all. And so for me, even though Cosmic Rays probably, you know, gets an advantage because of that shelter aspect, it's a food tournament ultimately, and when it's this close, I gotta let the food carry the day. And so Flame Tree Barbecue will advance. Cosmic Rays does not quite survive to fight a little bit longer. So it's one win for Flame Tree in its namesake Pitmasters bracket, and we'll go on to our next matchup. This is a little bit interesting. We've got some Mexican flavors to some extent from both contestants. We have a matchup between Cantina de San Angel, the quick service across from the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot, and they're facing off with Pepper Market, the quick service in the Coronado Springs Resort. So resort quick service versus Epcot quick service, and both with a bit of a Mexican flair. Josh, what do you think? Who ought to come out of this one?
Well, honestly, the only one I've ever eaten at is the Cantina there at Epcot. I haven't eaten at, I haven't even been to Coronado Springs, so I couldn't even imagine what that restaurant is like. So, I mean, you know, based on that, I would have to go with San Angel, just because that's the one that I have experience with. I mean, that kind of suffers from the same you know, thing that, that Flame Tree has, you know, where the seating is outdoors and, you know, somewhat limited, especially as the place gets a little crowded. But, you know, again, I can't really, you know, make a comparison there with a place I've never even seen. So,
all right. So Josh is inclined to go ahead and cast his vote to the Cantina just because, you know, he's familiar with it and he doesn't have a reason not to. So Terry or Danny, either of you have an argument to make for Pepper Market?
You know, it's a tough one because I felt the food was very comparable between both. They have, you know, different options, but when it comes down to pricing and quality, I thought they were similar in a lot of aspects, and I've eaten at both in the more recent past. But I'm going to give, you know, I'm going to go ahead and give my nod to Cantina just solely on location and views that you get. I mean, being in Epcot is fantastic, being able to look over the lagoon and just be around everybody. The seating is, you know, it's covered, but it still can get extremely hot. You still will get wet if it's pouring rain. But the Pepper Market, excuse me, as much as I like the decor and it's very bright and colorful, it is a bit out of the way for the average goer if you're not staying at Coronado. That's just my personal opinion. So I'm going to give the nod to the Cantina.
All right, two votes for the Cantina. Terry, you going to try and convince me to make a tie here? I know you're a fan of Pepper Market.
Not that big of a fan. I mean, you got to go with the Mexican food in the Mexican Pavilion. you can't beat the location. Even if the food is similar, the location is so much better at Epcot. And you're right across from Tequila.
That's right. Well, and they have some there. I mean, you know, they do make a few of the margaritas right there at Cantina. So. All right, so we have a quick winner there in the number 5 versus 4 matchup. Cantina de San Angel, actually a mild upset winner over Pepper Market with a sweep and advancing to the third round. So we move now to the bottom half of the Pitmaster region, and we get another Epcot restaurant facing off with a resort restaurant with Yorkshire Fish and Chips from the UK Pavilion against the Sasagula Floatworks over at Port Orleans. And Danny, I know you've been to Port Orleans fairly recently. So talk to us. Who wins, Yorkshire Fish and Chips or Sasagula Floatworks?
You know, I'm going to kind of contradict my last statement about the whole resort thing because I'm going to go with the Sasagula Floatworks. I know it's at a resort and it can be beaten off the beaten track, but the options are fantastic. Now, granted, it's going against an Epcot, let's call it restaurant. You know, I wouldn't go that far, but we'll use it for this show. But, you know, to touch on the Floatworks, the atmosphere is great. When you're done eating, you know, if you wanted to be a little more tranquil and quiet, you know, French Quarter is a beautiful resort to walk around. And I'll end it with this. They have a crawfish mac and cheese burger. Must I say any more?
All right. So a crawfish mac and cheese burger carries the vote for Sasagula Floatworks for Danny. Terry or Josh, you want to make an argument here for the fish and chips cart there at the UK?
Well, the Chippy is a favorite of you know, our family. We stopped there. It's always really good, but I mean, it does suffer from its limited menu. I mean, it is a good place to stop and get a quick you know, a quick beer while you're in Epcot as you're walking around. You know, you can get a good snack, but ultimately, you know, like you said earlier, it is a food tournament, and we got to go with, you know, the food's got to carry the day. And I mean, the menu at Sasagula is just so, you know, so huge compared to, you know, Yorkshire fish and chips. I think it just has to go to Sasagula.
All right. So two votes for Sasagula Floatworks. Terry, won't anyone think of the seagulls?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of, was this last time I ate at Yorkshire Fish and Chips, and seagull took away one of the kids' dinners right out of my hand. I'm going Benet's. over seagulls any day. A clean sweep there for me.
All right, so we have another upset, and this, you know, Sasagula Floatworks is making some noise here in the tournament. This is an 11 seed now that's made its way to the third round with a major upset over 3 seed Yorkshire Fish and Chips. So, Paul Lawson, you know who it is, right? It's Terry and Josh and Danny. That those are the guys that you need to come after for knocking your Yorkshire Fish and Chips out of this tournament. And
now, in my opinion, Yorkshire Fish and Chips probably shouldn't even be in the tournament. They have one option.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
It's one option against so many. It's the turkey leg cart of the fish world.
The turkey leg cart of the UK.
Yeah.
Okay, but I would pay to watch you walking through World Showcase carrying around one of those hunks of fish like a turkey leg. Just kind of gnawing on it as you walk.
It wouldn't last long. The seagulls would get it off before then.
All right. So we've got another matchup here in the bottom part of the Pitmaster region. And this one, we have another upset special candidate, the number 10 seed, Disney Springs Food Trucks, talking about menu variety there, facing off against Tangerine Cafe from the Morocco Pavilion in Epcot. So, Terry, what do you think? Morocco or the options of the food trucks?
I think I've got to listen to the rest of you talk, and you've got to convince me of which one to vote for on this one. I haven't eaten it either, though I've been very tempted to eat it both. So,
okay, so
I'd love to hear what the other guys have to say.
Terry's riding the fence. What do you think, Josh?
Oh, it's Tangerine, no doubt. I mean, all the places in Epcot, you know, with the different ethnic foods. It's just, to me, like that part of what makes World Showcase so special. And, Tangerine Cafe is really, one of the favorites. We actually had a tough decision, this last trip of, which place to go to, because we didn't have that much time in Epcot. So it was like, racking our brains, trying to get. So we get a little bit from basically every place. And, you can get the shawarma plate there at Tangerine Cafe loaded up. You got couscous, you got hummus, you got the shawarma, pita bread. I mean, it's got everything on there, and it's always good. It's always, fresh or, freshly made there. And, to me, it's not even a question between that or the food trucks in Disney Springs. So,
okay. All right. So we have a clear argument there for Tangerine Cafe. What do you think, Danny? Is he right?
Yeah, he's 100% right. It was tough a little bit, I will say that, because I was a big supporter of the food trucks coming to Disney Springs. I love the options. It's usually pretty quick to just walk up and get something. I remember one of the first days they were even over in the corner there. But when it comes to the best options, I believe, inside Epcot for quick service-wise, I mean, it's Tangerine Cafe, because you're getting the most bang for your buck. I mean, the shawarma lamb is fantastic. They've got the chicken platters, and I think it's, they are a little bit on the, I wouldn't say pricier side. You can get most most dishes in there for around $13 to $15, but boy, oh boy, do you get a lot of food with that for, what you're paying. I absolutely love it, so Tangerine gets my vote.
Okay, so Terry, do you feel a need to be contrary just to give me the opportunity to make a tie, or have you been convinced?
They've convinced me. I also know that you wouldn't go for the tie.
Because you know that I love the Green Cafe.
Yes, but no, you guys have definitely convinced me and listened to everybody talk. I mean, the only reason I haven't tried Tangerine Cafe is because Japan's so close.
and that's the dilemma that we faced, this last trip, and I mean, it's there are so many great options. So I hear you. But next time you go, you should definitely, you know, at least pop in there and try something, because it's really good stuff.
Awesome. I'll do that for sure. Thanks, guys.
All right. So that will take care of the Pitmaster region second round. Let's go ahead and do a quick review of the Pitmaster region. We had Flame Tree over Cosmic Rays, perhaps a little closer than we thought it might be, but Flame Tree does make it through. Cantina de San Angel with the light upset over Pepper Market. Sasagula Floatworks with a big upset over Yorkshire Fish and Chips. That's an 11 seed over a 3. And then Tangerine Cafe with a maybe surprising, just in terms of margin of victory, win over the Disney Springs food trucks. That'll take us into the Seafarers region, so named because of its top seed, the Columbia Harbor House. And, you know, I think Columbia Harbor House has a tougher matchup here maybe than we would have thought coming in. We have upset specialist Gasparilla Grill that had a narrow upset over Les Halles Boulangerie in the first round, facing off against that number one seed Columbia Harbor House. So Gasparilla Grill over at Grand Floridian and Columbia Harbor House in the Magic Kingdom. Let's see, Josh, do you have a winner for us here?
Well, I'm going to go with, obviously, my number one seed was Columbia Harbor House. And, you know, I still think it is the best, you know, quick service in all of, you know, Walt Disney World. And I'm not just saying that just because I drafted it and I want it to win, obviously, but because I truly believe that's what it is. And while Gasparilla is nice and all that, and it's at my favorite Disney Resort over at the Grand Floridian, and it's got the nice view of Cinderella Castle there. You can sit out there and eat your food during the day, or at night you can catch the fireworks. And but still, I mean, you know, to me the edge goes to Columbia Harbor House. I don't know, you know, it's hard to explain. You know, maybe not so much, but it just, you know, for me, it is. Columbia Harbor House has that edge over, you know, pretty much anything. So,
all right. So, Josh is sticking with his top seed, Columbia Harbor House, for the win over Gasparilla Grill. Terry, is he correct, or does Gasparilla have something more to speak for?
You know what? I don't eat seafood, and just the smell of it tends to turn me off. So for the non-seafood eaters out there, I'm going with the Gasparilla Grill, even though I haven't eaten there.
All right, so anything but seafood causes Terry to cast his ballot for Gasparilla Grill. Danny, is the top seed in jeopardy here?
No, Columbia Harbor House is going to win. It's one of the main reasons I even walk into Liberty Square at this point. you know, they've got some really great options, but I mean, even if you don't like seafood, now, if you don't like the smell of it, okay, you're probably going to be turned off from it, so I understand that, because a large majority of their menu is seafood. But I mean, they do have other things, you know, they've got, you know, chicken nuggets, they've got, but for an adult, chicken pot pie, which I've actually had their chicken pot pie last trip, and it was actually really good. I was pleasantly surprised with it, to definitely go to a seafood place like that, and to get a chicken pot pie, I was surprised. So I'm going to give the nod to Columbia. Nothing against anybody else, it's just, I happen to like it, and I think it's in a dying area of the park, and I think that's one of the few things that really keeps that area alive.
Well, you know, here's the thing. As much as I personally really enjoy Columbia Harbor House and recommend it all the time, Gasparilla Grill is a really tough matchup, I think, for Columbia Harbor House, because it's one of the few quick service restaurants that, you know, you look at it and even right on the surface, it can match Columbia Harbor House in terms of depth of menu. It's certainly got a broad range of options and a lot of different things, unique items that you're not going to find anywhere else, which is part of what makes, you know, Columbia Harbor House so appealing. I on the one hand, am very tempted to go ahead and make a tie here and send this to listeners. But
on the other hand, you're not.
Do it. Do it. There's better places in Magic Kingdom.
Here's the thing. Gasparilla Grill is really kind of pricey for a quick service restaurant, even more so than any of the ones we've talked about so far. I mean, there is a Grand Floridian premium going on here, and some of it is because of the menu items that they kind of do tend to lean towards something that's maybe a little elevated compared to usual quick service.
It's the menu's not that bad. $11.50 for a mahi-mahi Reuben if you must have seafood. $13.50 for a burger, but that's where it tops out.
But this is what I'm saying. You know, it's a $13.50 burger, which at theme park prices I can buy for a table service restaurant. But this is quick service. And I have a hard time casting a vote when it's close like this for a restaurant that's that much really more expensive. I mean, the $13.50 burger is substantially more expensive. It's at least a couple of dollars more expensive than the Columbia Harbor House, salmon, broccoli, and couscous. So, you know.
Yeah, but the most expensive item on either menu is the lobster roll over at Columbia House at $15.
Yeah, but that thing our grilled salmon. Huge chunks of lobster in that thing. I mean, it's not a lot of filler or anything. I mean, you know, and lobster is not a cheap item to begin with. So, I mean, that can kind of be stomached in compared to, you know, a $13.50 cheeseburger.
Yeah, grilled salmon for $14. I'm just saying, price-wise, they're closer than you think.
They're fairly close, but, you know, there are, let me put it this way, there are more budget-friendly items available at Columbia Harbor House than there are budget-friendly items available at Gasparilla Grill. Gasparilla Grill, on average, tends towards the High Point. Columbia Harbor House...
There's items for $10 at Gasparilla Grill, and the cheapest item at Columbia House is $10.70. $11. That's what I'm saying. It's you think you're paying more at Gasparilla Grill. I'm reaching at straws here, guys.
You are. We're squabbling over a dollar here.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but you know,
trying for that tie, but
well, there are two things here. The one, the other part that I didn't get to is that Columbia Harbor House does get points still for that upstairs dining area that remains somehow an open secret, because I hear everybody talk about it. Still, nobody bothers to go upstairs, and you never have a hard time finding a place to sit up there. There are a couple of locations where you can sit and get nice views of people, you know, for people watching in the park. I'm not making a tie. Columbia Harbor House is going to advance.
Yeah, that upstairs area is really good.
All right. So our next matchup in the Seafarers region, involves one of our ties from the last round, and we had a tie going in between the 4-seed Summerfest and the upstart 13-seed Kringla Bakery Og Cafe, just sort of right down the way in Epcot. It wasn't close. Summerfest with 60% of the vote, actually slightly more than 60% of the vote, advanced, and so Summerfest matches up with the Sleepy Hollow Refreshment. Now, Sleepy Hollow Refreshments, Josh was just in the Magic Kingdom about a week ago and confirmed for us that the Spicy Chicken Waffle Sandwich is now on the menu all day at Sleepy Hollow Refreshments. So no more of this cutting it off at 4 o'clock. And so we've got Summerfest, German food in Epcot against Sleepy Hollow Refreshments in Liberty Square. Danny, you just told us that Columbia Harbor House was the only reason to go to Liberty Square. What about Sleepy Hollow?
You know, I enjoy Sleepy Hollow. It's got some interesting things. I always found it really odd. They had a lot of waffles and funnel cakes, and then all of a sudden they had a baked potato on their menu. I didn't quite understand how those kind of correlated with each other.
The baked potato is a transplant from the Liberty Square Market that just around the corner.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. Still doesn't really make sense on the menu, but now at least I have an idea of why it's on there. But I'm going to go with Summerfest over in Epcot. The Bratwurst, the Frankfurter, you know, the options are definitely less over at the Summerfest, but I'm going to lean that way. I just think the quality of food on this side is going to be a little better coming from Epcot.
All right. So we have the vote there for Summerfest, right?
Yeah.
I understood you correctly. A vote yes. for Summerfest from Danny. Josh, you were just there checking it out. Is he right?
Yeah, I think so. Sleepy Hollow does have some good options there. But you can't get a beer at Sleepy Hollow. You can't get an authentic German beer at Sleepy Hollow. So I think I'll go with Summerfest on that one. They're both very similar. You know, neither one are really a big, you know, a big meal kind of place. They're more of like a, you know, grab something to tide me over until, you know, dinner time or whatever. And it just seems like there's, you know, for me, you know, the edge kind of goes a little bit towards Summerfest, although it is very close. But, you know, I think I'll go cast my vote for Summerfest.
All right, that's two votes for Summerfest. Terry, are you going to give me a chance to save Sleepy Hollow?
Chicken waffle sandwich. I mean, that's a fantastic meal right there. And I know Summerfest, you can get the German beer and all of that. But really, if you're going to Germany to eat, you're going to go inside and sit down and enjoy the show. Sleepy Hollow refreshment for me. Just, and now that waffle chicken sandwich is available all day, perfect.
All right. Well, you know, I telegraphed it there, but given my well-documented devotion to the Sleepy Hollow chicken waffle sandwich, the spicy chicken waffle sandwich, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a tie. I hear you about Summerfest, but as I've mentioned before in this discussion, you know, Summerfest is ultimately a hot dog and a beer place, you know, a sausage and beer place. And I can find those just about anywhere. That spicy chicken waffle sandwich from Sleepy Hollow is a unique item. I mean, yeah, you can get some similar things other places. They've tried somewhat to duplicate it over at Hollywood Studios with their, what is it, the Dark Side chicken and waffle thing at Backlot. I tried that one. It's not anywhere near as good. They sell one in the Springfield area in Universal at the, you know, the Springfield fast food lane.
We don't talk about that place.
It's not nearly as good there. Not anywhere close. It's like Eggo's as opposed to a real waffle. Yes,
it is Eggo's.
Give me dirty looks. But
that one is Eggo's.
Yeah, it is, and it's just not anywhere near as good. I mean, it doesn't hold up like a sandwich nearly as well as the Sleepy Hollow waffle does. It's darn near perfect there. So I'm going to cast my vote for Sleepy Hollow, and I'm going to trust that my community will rally behind me, and we will save Sleepy Hollow. It is a slight upset if Sleepy Hollow wins. They are the 5 seed against Summerfest, which is the 4. But I am going to back Sleepy Hollow and just see what the listeners are willing to do to help me out here. Okay, so we move on to the top half of the Seafarers region bracket, and we get, I think, one of our first, I guess the second one in a row here of theme park versus theme park restaurant matchups. It's the Magic Kingdom's recently reimagined Pecos Bill Tall Tale Cafe against the Yak and Yeti Local Foods in Disney's Animal Kingdom. And Danny, why don't you get us started here? Got an argument to make for Yak and Yeti Local Foods or Pecos Bill?
You know,
I like everything they did with the Pecos Bill. I like how it's a lot of, well, it's all indoor seating, which is nice, and air conditioning. Last time I was there, I was really disappointed with the bar area where you have the free toppings and whatnot. You know, it was almost picked dry. No one kind of replenished it, it didn't seem like. It was very, very messy. I mean, that's not the reason I'm going to go against it. I'm going to go against it just purely because I believe Yak and Yeti might be the best restaurant inside of, you know, Disney property. Now, granted, I know this is the outside facility of it, and there are some downfalls, such as their seating area is not well covered, and it's not very big at all. But the quality of food, I believe, at Yak and Yeti is superior by leaps and bounds compared to Pecos Bill. So Yak and Yeti gets my vote.
All right, so that's a vote for Yak and Yeti. Now, Terry, I know that you have historically been a fan of Yak and Yeti local foods, but maybe have been somewhat critical of it in recent years. What do you think, Yak and Yeti or Pecos Bill?
This one's tough to me, but I like Yak and Yeti, but I like it not because it's authentic Asian cuisine, but because it's North American version of Asian cuisine. if you know what I mean, you know, it's not Asian chicken. It's chicken nuggets that are put into Asian food, and I like that at times. But Pecos Bill's, you know, it comes down to, you know, from Yak and Yeti, I'm willing to walk to Harambe Market and get some good, more authentic food. From Pecos Bill's, where are you going, right? If you're hungry at that end of the park, and they do a pretty good job. You know, I understand Danny's concern there with the toppings bar. That's a cast member issue more than the menu. Still a concern. But they've also got those that secret menu nacho platter, which that's an amazing challenge. And for that reason, I got to go with Pecos Bill's.
Okay. So there's a vote for Pecos Bill's and its secret nachos over Yak and Yeti from Terry. Josh, it's 1-1, all on your shoulders. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going with Pecos Bill on that one, too. A lot of the same reasons as Terry. You know, when I was in there last week, the toppings bar wasn't, I mean, it was stocked. It wasn't messy. So, it probably was just, you know, a cast member thing. I don't know if, you know, maybe it was, you know, really busy when you went, Dan, but or you just got it at a bad time or, you know, whoever was supposed to be, you know, stocking it or checking up on it, just, you know, didn't get to it, wasn't doing what they were supposed to. But, you know, I guess when I saw it, my experience with it most recently, you know, it was pretty fine. Plus, I mean, who can argue with the way they serve your food? You know, I mean, ringing the bell, hey, you know, so, I mean, that's always fun. You know, the kids get a kick out of the way they bring your tray up to you. So I'm going with Pecos Bill.
All right, so that's two votes for Pecos Bill, one for Yak and Yeti. And, you know, the more I think about this one, the more I think that we might need to be looking at another tie here. You know, I do want to give Pecos Bill credit. I feel like the revision to the menu was a good revision. I like what they did with it. It makes much more sense as Pecos Bill's with this more sort of Tex-Mex menu. You know, the burritos were a good direction to go for it, and it fit in well with their whole toppings bar deal, and, you know, all of that worked well together. So that, you know, that part works. But that said, it does end up ultimately being something that's very similar to, you know, what you could find in Freebirds or a Chipotle or... It just, there's not much different about it from stuff you find anywhere. And, you know, Yak and Yeti, yeah, they've Americanized it over time. But I appreciate that they still are including some, you know, little bit different, little bit more exotic flavors and things that are, you know, kind of unique. I was just glancing at the menu and I noticed that they don't even really have listed here some of the breakfast items that they have. And one of my favorite Animal Kingdom breakfast items is only on the menu at Yak and Yeti Local Food Cafe. They do a breakfast wrap that's kind of like a breakfast burrito, but it's got some different stuff in it. It's eggs and potatoes and feta cheese, and it just works really well together. Very, very tasty. And I liked it a lot as a breakfast option, something totally different for breakfast, which is kind of hard to find sometimes at Disney. So I'm going to, just out of respect for the uniqueness and the you know, very different kinds of things that you can get from Yak and Yeti Local Food, I'm going to go ahead and make a tie here and see what the listeners do with it. We've got a number 3 seed, Pecos Bill, number 6, Yak and Yeti. What do you think? You know, is there some value in offering something that you can't find anywhere else? Because I think if there is, that Yak and Yeti ought to survive here. All right, well, that's going to take us to our last matchup in the Seafarers region. And this one, we had a tie with one, you know, being a somewhat questionable entrant, right? We had some question about whether AMC Fork and Screen actually belonged in a quick service tournament. The listeners answered with a resounding no, because with over 75% of the vote, Min and Bill's Dockside Diner overcame the AMC Theater Fork and Screen. So for this last matchup, we have the number 5 seed Min and Bill's against number 2 seed Restaurantosaurus. And Terry, what do you think? It's, you know, buckets versus food on a stick. Who wins?
You know, if Min and Bill still offered that hot dog that we had with the peppers,
oh, yeah,
baked
the
right
and
in.
Peppers. Ugh.
Yeah.
So good.
It would have given me a half second to pause, but Restaurantosaurus hands down on this one. The theming is unbeatable. You've got a great selection of different foods. You've got some, you know, the Safari Amber beer, the Cretaceous Cooler, which is one of my must-haves when I'm there. And, you know, you know me, the Animal Kingdom must-dos are the Dawa Bar. Restaurantosaurus is probably a number 2 or 3 for me, right after the Dawa Bar again, I guess. So yeah, it would be Dawa Bar, Dawa Bar, Restaurantosaurus, and then Flame Tree Barbecue on the way back. So Restaurantosaurus for me.
So Terry, with the impassioned defense of Restaurantosaurus, Danny, what do you think?
I'm going to back that up. I'm going to go with the Restaurantosaurus only due to the fact of, I mean, their menu is, to me, it's so-so. It's pretty average, you know, your chicken and cheeseburger kind of deal. Min and Bill's, as much as it's, I like the area that it's in, to me, it's a wannabe Casey's. And if I'm getting a hot dog, I'm going to Casey's Corner, not Min and Bill's. So there's my vote.
All right. Is it a clean sweep, Josh?
It is. Just because there are so many, you know, we'll say eclectic places to eat in Animal Kingdom, it's nice to have a place that has, you know, that kind of can cater to, you know, more pickier kids, you know, so it's a place that we can kind of go to and we know that the kids will be able to find something that they want to eat. So, you know, I think for that reason, among the others that were already mentioned, I'm going with Restaurantosaurus.
And, you know, even served in a bucket on top of all that, right? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Min and Bill's. 2 years ago, this would have been a really tough decision. I mean, Min and Bill's might actually have won. But somehow, they go in and take the two best things on the menu off of the menu at Min and Bill's. I mean, that sausage and peppers, you know, basically sandwich. It was the sausage and peppers baked into the French bread. is gone, and the really interesting Florida microbrew that used to be on the menu is gone and replaced with, you know, Yingling, which I know our Pennsylvania guys like a lot, but, you know, it's not high on my list, at least. I mean, it's very average as far as I'm concerned.
As a Pennsylvania native myself, even though I don't live there anymore, you know, I like myself a good Yingling too. But when I'm at Disney, I don't order Yingling. You know, there's so many other options that are there that, you know, I'm not looking for. And I see these people walk around with the giant cans of the Bud Light. And I think to myself, if you're going to spend that much on a beer, at least get something good.
Yeah, get a real beer.
Right.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And there used to be, and I forget exactly what the name of it was. It was like I'm drawing it a complete blank now. It was a something.
It had an orange flavor to it.
Exactly. It was an orange something.
Was it Adam that convinced us to try that combination, the sausage and pepper sandwich with the orange beer? I think it was Adam.
I think it is.
Yeah, and that combination was phenomenal. But it's like you say, both items are gone from the menu, so it's
right. Makes it harder. I mean, it's still great people watching from Men and Bills, especially around dinner time as people start to gather for an evening show there in front of the Chinese theater. But it's just not the same, and it's terribly disappointing. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but I do tend to penalize restaurants for, you know, blown opportunity. And as much as Restaurantosaurus not offering an adult bucket of beer to go with the kids' bucket meal is a missed opportunity, it's not nearly as big a missed opportunity as the missed opportunity at Men and Bill's to include, to basically take off of the menu the two most interesting items that were there. So, Restaurantosaurus with a clear win wraps up the Seafarers Region second round. And just to recap quickly, it was Restaurantosaurus over Men and Bills, a tie that we'll need some help from listeners on between Yak and Yeti Local Foods and Pecos Bill Tall Tale Cafe. Another tie with the 4 and 5 seeds, Summerfest and Sleepy Hollow Refreshments, locked in a tie there. And Columbia Harbor House with a close win over the Gasparilla Grill. And that was a number one seed over the 9 seed. So, guys, anything about this round that caught you off guard, surprised you? Any patterns emerging that you see in the tournament at this point?
I was kind of shocked that Yak and Yeti didn't win outright. I know that a lot of people enjoy Pecos Bill, but I'm surprised that it got as much love as it did today.
Just got a better option down the road at Harambe Market. That's my issue with Yak and Yeti.
I understand that.
Josh, any other thoughts from you?
I mean, you know, same kind of thing. There were some that were a little closer than I thought that they would have been, but ultimately, you know, I think it's shaping up to be a good tournament.
All right, so we've got second round of two subregions that we've taken care of tonight. A week from now, we'll get the outcome of the second round in the other two subregions. We are quickly angling towards the nitty-gritty in this tournament. Let us know what you think. We'd really love to hear from you. In addition to breaking the ties, we'd love to hear comments about overall the format of the tournament, how things are going, what's interesting to you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. Or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Hey, and if you've got an extra minute, we'd really appreciate it if you'd give us a review on whichever service you use to listen to the show. If it's iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, whatever it is, those reviews help other people find the show and makes it so that we can continue to spread, you know, our Diz Dad's attitude about enjoying the Disney theme parks and all things Disney with our families. So please do take a minute, give us a review. Until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Terry Hawkins.
Hey guys, if anybody's got a cardboard box I can live in, I'm homeless in 25 days. I promise not to drink all year rum.
Oh, Josh Schusterman.
Hey, it's been fun.
And Danny D'Angelo.
Hey guys, don't forget, go vote for Yak and Yeti. Let's get it a win here.
And go listen to Danny on Behind the Ears podcast. It's well worth a listen.
It is, and a lot of tall tales.
I appreciate that.
Like the Pecos Bill. Yeah.
Gasparilla Grill, I tried for you, but even yeah. I wasn't convinced. In there.
It's too shy.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thanks. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Really looking forward to trying Tangerine Cafe there next time I'm down. You guys all got the
pizza. Oh yeah, you gotta check that out. It's really good.
The hard part with Tangerine Cafe is deciding what to order.
And just get the everything shawarma platter.
Well, see, that's the everything shawarma platter. I happen to like the vegetarian platter because it's the everything with the falafel. Because you know I'm awful. I lived in Israel for a year, and so it's really hard for me to find falafel that I can eat. Nothing is as good as Jerusalem falafel, but Tangerine Cafe is pretty close.
Ooh, well, see, what you do is you come down during Flower and Garden, you get the lamb shawarma, and then you go out to the Taste of Marrakesh cart they got out there and get the falafel.
There you go. That's it.